lessons for this first Sunday in Lent can be viewed as a roadmap for our journey of love. We began on Ash Wednesday. And the theme for this journey of travel is a longing for the destination of our lives. For our spiritual ancestors were wanderers. We call them strangers in a strange land. Now their creator in the midst of a wilderness. The Deuteronomy scripture recalled our heritage and its wandering Aramaeans. The psalmist is even quoted by the devil as he confronts Jesus in the wilderness. Because he is bound to me in love, therefore will I deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. In the scene in the gospel reading to which we turn, wet, washed Jesus walks out of the river, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's headed down in this wilderness that provided an open space, seeking direction and purpose. Tradition tells us that Jesus climbed into a high cave of Mount Carmel. Today, the location of the Monastery of the Temptation. And less than a day's walk from Jericho, and for centuries, has attracted many pilgrim seekers. In those caves of Carmel, people would fast, pray, seeking answers. Jesus, now certain of being loved and touched by God, needed the answers that a 40-day stint in that cave might provide. 40 days. The theme began with Moses, leading the people out of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness. 40 days, 40 nights, Moses atop Mount Sinai, encountering God. Below those considering whether or not he was really the one that was going to lead them. 40 days and 40 nights, Noah floated upon the sea, arriving on Mount Ararat. Elijah spent 40 days and 40 nights in that cave on Mount Horeb. So it was that Jesus waited and watched in that dark cave. He was deprived of any comfort or water, food, and warmth. Jesus was tested. 3 times that adversary came to him, this one whom we call the devil, or the evil one, or Satan. Princeton historian Elaine Pagels made her landmark study the origin of Satan. And she explored our fascination with the devil, especially around Halloween time, but all year long. She explained that Christians borrowed this notion from the Jews, and that according to her, in a strange perversion, applied it to them, and have so demonized any enemy. Anyone who disagreed with them became satanic. Shades of the Middle East, where Americans are regarded as the great Satan. This is a reverse of the traditional Christian view. But then Pagels is not a traditional Christian. In the current 21st century thinking, religious faith is a projection of our evil tendencies. Never mind that Stalin, Mao, the Cambodians, Edie, murdered more millions of people in the name of godlessness than a few thousand of the same historians assigned to Christians. As perverse as that was. In our gospel lesson, Luke wants us to know that Jesus truly faced temptation. He was threatened. He met evil face to face. Jesus wasn't dealing with some personal evils. He wasn't going to take a 30-day stint in some spa with an advisor and voila, cured. Hagrid so proclaimed, and Brittany wished so. No, in that cave, Jesus was confronting and defeating the evil that infects the whole universe, greater than that which we humans could devise on our own. Even Elie Wiesel's Night, Darfur, Iraq, or Syria. Despite our high-tech world, high-octane lifestyles, high-stress jobs, high-risk stakes, the temptations we face are the very same ones. Those 3 insidious tests that Satan put before Jesus. Turning a stone into bread. Oh, come on, Jesus. You haven't eaten for days. Make yourself one little loaf of bread. Who's to see? Who's to care? What difference does it make? Use just a little bit of this special status to obtain just a little bit of bread for yourself. Is that so bad? Serving a power other than God is giving final authority and control to a force, an individual, a group, an idea, other than the Word of God. When we turn people into idols, even our American idols, we make them objects, less than human. Oh, in our culture, the P.T. Barnum's abound. There's one board every minute. Give me your money, I'll make you rich. Give me your life, I'll make you a star. Now, Satan may not have that pointy tail or those funny ears, but hundreds of thousands of folk each year turn to the Antichrist, the gods of social status, of career, of feeling good, of thrills, extremes. Putting God to the test, does your faith have faith? Is it only as strong as the last demonstration of God's power in your life? God, the Bible reminds us, is present with us in all of the circumstances of our lives. Jesus, empowered by that Spirit, entered the testing field. Satan tempted Jesus to construe his baptism, his status as a Spirit-filled child of God like you, in terms of that which would benefit him. What's in it for me? Rather than his mission, he'd been empowered to serve the poor, the captives, the blind, the oppressed. And friends, so have we. Oh, we still want those magical miracles of miraculous rescue. We still like the glory train of the golden statue and the Oscar calf. Even if it requires us to be rude, crude, and vulgar, denying all that Paul enjoined Christians to do on their journey of faith. Remember, whatsoever things are beautiful. All of the readings we had this morning speak to our human response, which is worship. True worship is God-centered. As for the Israelites, we stop. We offer that which we are to God in thanksgiving. The oldest human creed on record is found in this 12th century story in the book of Deuteronomy. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. Went to Egypt, lived as an alien, became a great nation, was harshly afflicted, cried to the Lord. The Lord brought them to a land of milk and honey. And we bring our offering to the Lord. First worship service was the reciting of that creed. There wasn't any choir, there wasn't any organ, there wasn't any preacher. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he said, if you confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Period. End of story. Read 2, Jesus is Lord. This is the power of the Word. God is resurrection, new heaven, new earth. Who will rescue us from the body of death? Deliver us from the evil one. Now, evil is not just a psychological projection of our conflict egos. Evil is real. Evil is threatening. Evil is a power. And that power rages around us day after day. But this is the Lord's day. And we have gathered to acknowledge Satan has not won. God defeated evil. We don't stand alone. Here, we call upon the name of the Lord, and in our weakness, we know his deliverance. So our temptations to do what seems to be right for the wrong reasons, to be tempted by power when power could serve an ultimate good, to be tempted by control, if control would abolish evil, to be tempted by our own desires, especially if those desires could serve others, to believe that we have the answers, that we control our destiny, that our efforts are enough. Sometimes sin just doesn't feel sinful, does it? Friends, you are the child of God. You are God's delight. Jesus looked out across that desert landscape and recognized two deserts. The wilderness that burns by day and freezes by night, and the inner desert, some time or another must go. Our Lenten journey begins. May it be one that expands your horizons, that builds up your dignity, that helps you to learn that in Jesus Christ, you're never powerless. We walk the road to Calvary with Him. You will find Him mighty to save.